Blog Talk Radio. Worthy Thank you. somebody the name of Jesus. Anxiety and cancer. Anxiety and heartbreak. Go higher than any disease. Just begin talking in the house of Jesus.
Jesus, Thanking the Lord Jesus, we just praising him. How many of you know that he is faithful, that he is merciful, that he is omnipotent, he's omnipresent, he's omniscient. Oh, how many of you know that he's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing God, that he can do what no man can do. Hallelujah, glory to God. We are just so blessed to be here today. Monday evening, we went to the hospital because I was feeling some pain in my arm that I didn't like, and doubting, you know, heart is good and all the other stuff is good, but they still can't figure out what's going on with the pain in the arm. So I was kept in the hospital Monday night, so that's why the reason why I wasn't here on yesterday. So I was in the hospital until yesterday evening. And still can't figure out why I had that pain, serious pain that the people say you get in your arm when you're getting a stroke. But I wasn't getting a stroke. You know, the pain was there and it was severe. And I tell you, it was some kind of pain. But we slept like a baby on last night. And we are grateful that the Lord has kept us and is keeping us in the land of the living. Hallelujah. How many of you know that you got to call upon the Lord? A lot of times people don't want to call upon him, but I call upon him with assurance that regardless of what happened, that I am with you. You know, I'm not afraid of dying. It's just that my family would go into a tailspin, you know, if I cross over, but I'm not afraid because I have given my life completely and wholly to Jesus Christ. You know, I hold him back nothing, you know, to God. Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord God. We glorify your name. We honor you this day with all that you have done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. We ask you, O God, to minister to us today. We yield to you. We yield to you. Yield to your way, Lord Jesus. We ask you, O God, to speak to us. As our hearts are open, our ears are receptive to your voice, and our spirits are ready to receive. Lord, allow us to see in this word what you would have us to see, and allow us to share what you would have us to share to us, Lord Jesus. We ask your forgiveness for any thought, any word, any action that we may have done, any word we may have said that did not bring glory to your name. We ask your forgiveness today that we might enter in into the throne room today, that place of liberty, freedom, joy, and peace, O God, and hear from heaven today. The last time I spoke with you all, I spoke about the churches, and I talked about who are you. And this is part two of who are you. We spoke about the church of Ephesus, the church of Smyrna, church of Pergamos, and the church of Thyatira. And now we want to go in. I just set this computer, but I didn't set the limit time for stay on, so it's going off on me. It's off, so I'm going to set the time. So we don't want to speak about the last three churches in this book of Revelation. And we want to speak on it because we must know who we are. We must know that we are the church. It's not the building. You know, we heard from grandma and grandpa says, we're going to church, but we are really not going to church. We are the church that's going to the building to fellowship with the other churches. Hallelujah. So that's what's happening. And we get that. We got to get that in our spirit, that we are the church. You know, when we come collectively together as one body of Christ, when we come together in the building. But, you know, we still say, well, I'm going to church because that's what we've been taught from our youth. Let us go into the Word. I want to come out the Logos Bible, the King James Bible, and the NLT or the Amplified today. So the Lord give us utterance as he allow us to go in. Here in the book of Revelation. Not Revelations, because a lot of people say Revelations. It doesn't have an S on it. It's singular, Revelation, the book of Revelation. Chapter 3, we did chapter 2 the last time that we were here, and we want to go into the church of Sardis. We want to go into this church, and the Bible says, as the Spirit is speaking to John, people say, well, John went to heaven. He never went to heaven. His spirit man looked into heaven. God allowed him by his spirit to look into heaven. Understand? The Bible says no one has gone into heaven except him that came down and went back into heaven, ascended back into heaven. Okay? But John had an opportunity to look into heaven in the spirit realm, look into the spirit realm. And the spirit said to him, write this letter to the angel of the church in Sardis. Who's the angel? The angel is the one who is over the church, who God has allowed to watch over the church. See, we don't know who we are. You know, we don't know. Let me see. Somebody call him. Sorry. Sorry about that. There was a package at the door, but it's for one of my other neighbors. I have to walk over there, but I'm not going over there now. So just look. Give me us that. Now let's go back into the Word and keep me in prayer. As I said earlier to those that were here on earlier today, I was in the hospital on Monday night because I had to go there and I had to, that's the reason why we were not on here on yesterday. And I told you all, I was getting this pain in my left hand, you know, that people say that when they're having a heart attack. And we had it for a few days. And we knew it wasn't a heart attack. It was just a pain that we didn't understand what it was. So I decided I would go to the hospital on Monday evening and have it checked out. And they can't figure what it is. But they give me some other pills, that a couple other pills. I don't know if they're supposed to call in some prescription. Something with how the heart is beating or the valve or something, something that says some kind of thing like a window on the heart. I didn't understand that. My wife, she knows all that, what they're talking about. So anyway, Rhonda was saying that there was something that it was not open in full, but it's not something to really worry about. That it affects everybody when they're getting older. Yeah, this happened. So they're going to supposed to give me some type of medication that would control that. But I slept like a baby last night. I had no pain or anything. You know, so glory to God. So this is why you have to check out everything. You know, a lot of our people die because we don't go to the hospital. We don't check stuff. And when we want to go, then it's too late. You know, I get colonoscopy and all that stuff. I have checked out every 4 years, 3 or 4 years. I got to go back. If I'm still here in this realm, 2028 is my next colonoscopy. You have to check on yourself. Don't wait till something happens. The people say if you don't check yourself, you'll wreck yourself. And a lot of these people die. They say they die from pneumonia because they got a little cold or something going on with them. They don't go check it out to get medication or to know what's happening. But anyway, in this book, we're talking about who are you? Who are you, part two? And this is in the third chapter of Revelation. And John says, he says, the angel speaking to John, he says, write this letter to the angel of the church of Sardis. This is the message from the one who has the seven full spirits of God and the seven stars. I know all the things you do, and that you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Now we can stop there and preach right there. You see, because many of us, we proclaim to know him, to be filled with the Spirit. And truly we're not, because we don't exhibit the power and the authority that he says that we're supposed to have. So what are we saying? We're saying that we got to get to a place where we truly know who we are, that we are the church, not the building. And I told you earlier that we were taught when we were growing up that we're going to church. That's what they tell us. We're going to church. So we think the building is the church. But we have to get to this place. You and I have to get. Am I talking to anybody this morning? We got to get to this place that we know that we are the church. Yesterday morning, because I was able to get something to eat in the hospital on Monday night, you know, and then yesterday morning I had breakfast. Yesterday afternoon I had lunch. Well, the lady that brought my lunch, she goes to Holy Tap Church in Dorchester, and she kept saying, She know who I am. But she can't remember where she met me. But anyhow, we end up praying for her. And she began to tell me, she said, man of God, you are here for a particular purpose. She says, it's not by chance that you're here. And she got telling me, I'm in the hospital for treatment to check out this pain in my arm. They tell me that my heart, because I had x-rays and all this stuff, the machine came. This hospital, the machine, you don't got to go to the machine come to me. And they checked my heart, you know, a couple of pictures they took of the heart. And they say the heart is working fine, the heart is working good, everything working good. And they say that where they did the surgery and they tapped the arteries, you know, that everything is still intact. Now, because I was thinking, well, if something had broken, I'd be losing a lot of blood internally, and I would have all this pain in my belly and chest. Well, I had no pain there, but they say everything is thing where the doctors tie the arteries together, you know, just fuse them together, however they do it. everything looks good. But the lady, she said, look, I'm going through so much. You know, she's from some part of Caribbean, I can't remember, she said Trinidad or Jamaica. But we end up praying for her. She's weeping, and we having a good time in the Lord. Even though that I was in pain, went there in pain. The pain was no pain more once I got to the hospital. The pain only lasts a little bit in the nighttime or so. And the Lord spoke to the woman, and the woman was weeping like crazy. You know, you got to understand that even in who you are, when you know who you are and whose you are, even when you're going through, somebody going to seek you out. God going to put somebody in a place to seek you out, for you to give them what he gave you to give to them. But you got to know who you are. A lot of us walk around like a chicken with a head cut off because we don't really know who we are. I know I'm the church. I told me I was in the hospital. I'm not afraid. God knows from the center of my heart that I'm not afraid of dying. I'm not afraid. They said, Apostle, man of God, we can't do that, boy. You're going to die. I said, well, that's all right. That's fine. And I beg my family, don't be lamenting over me. Don't be crying and weeping over me because I know where I'm going. My wife, she says, God forbid she don't want me. I said, but baby, if he called me, I got to go. I can't tell him no. You know, that's why God lived his life pure. Not perfect, because no one is perfect but him. But I got to live this life pure. But here in this word, you see, the one that have this in his hand is Jesus. He said, wake up, strengthen what little remains. For even that what is left is almost dead. People are dying in the church. Pastors and prophets and the prophetess and evangelists and teachers are dying in the building. Dying in the building. The body of Christ. Because these folk are playing church and don't want you to say anything about them. They think that they're so holy and so pious that you can't rebuke them. I tell people that if you hear or see I'm doing something out of line, out of order, rebuke me. Don't let me go to hell. Don't let me die and go to hell. These folk too holy. They're too holy. He tells us here, wake up. That means you're sleeping. You're spiritually you're in a spiritual sleep. Not physical. We are in a spiritual sleep, a church. The body of Christ is in a spiritual sleep. I like to see the body of man because God's church is alive. God's church is alive. He said that the gates of hell should not prevail against the church. But we that say we are the church, we need to wake up to the things of God. Begin to allow the Spirit of God to operate through us and do in us and through us what only he can do. I'm not in control. See, I know I'm not in control. He is in control. Somebody said, well, you just got back from the hospital. You don't need to go on Blog Talk. Why don't you rest? What I'm resting from? What do I have to rest for? I'm closer to where I'm going than when I first began. I got to continue. I got to continue doing this thing. Continue talking for him. Be his mouthpiece in this realm. He says, wake up. Strengthen what little remains. For even what is left is almost dead. Did you hear that? I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. Oh, Lord Jesus, you can't tell them that. Because they know the Hebrew, they know the Greek, they know the Latin. Or they can prophesy. They can speak in tongues. But the Bible says that even that remains is almost dead. It does not even meet the requirement of God. He said, go back to what you heard and believed at first. Hold to it firmly. Now, when we were growing up, men or grandparents, and if our parents were in the body of Christ, they was trying to force things down our throat, praying to get us to get this thing. We heard it. We heard that Jesus is Lord. We heard that he was crucified. We heard that he died on a old rugged cross. They used to sing that song. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and that Father God raised him up on the third day. Behold that he sat on the right. He sits at the right hand of the Father, power in a place of authority. We're proclaiming something else. We're proclaiming, name it, and claim it. You can have it if you just believe. Just name it and claim it. You can have the big house, the big fancy car, a lot of money in the bank, and they having money in the bank because people believe in that foolishness that they're talking. And they're getting plenty of money. But what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what can you give in return for your soul? I don't have this stuff like that. I don't have it like that. But I know that Jesus says I'm rich in the spirit. I know this. You can say I'm boasting, but I'm boasting on him. I'm boasting on him. Told me I'm rich. I don't have a lot of money in the bank that people have. God knows that's the truth. My account is almost to the bottom. But my heart is filled with Jesus Christ. Filled. Hallelujah. All that he has done for me, all that he's doing. Oh, my God. You know, every time I think about what he has done for me, even when I was in the building, when I was in the church building, when I was in part of the body of Christ, how he protected me on the streets of Washington, D.C. Hallelujah. On New York Avenue, I was shot at close range. And the bullet did not penetrate me. I didn't know that the Holy Spirit was covering me then. But I know now. I know now. So he says here, look, go back to what you heard and believe at first. Hold to it firmly. Hold fast. Don't let it go. Repent and turn to me again. If you don't wake up, I will come to you suddenly or quickly. As unexpected as a thief. If you continue, if you don't wake up, that's meaning that if you continue in the foolish place that you are, rejecting God, rejecting his ways, rejecting his laws, his statutes, his commandments, because you still want to fit in with the world. You still want to be part of the world system because you're still craving and still hungry for the things of the world. This young man was telling me in the hospital, he says, I want to buy this new BMW RX something, 6 or something, and it's over $80,000. Young man in his 30s. And he said, but my father told me I ought to think about getting a house first before I get an expensive car. He said, and that really brought me to my senses. To get a house first, then get a car. Well, that sounds good. You know, I lost out there, right there. I was laying on the bed in the hospital. I lost out there because I was thinking about my about the medication and all that stuff, and when the doctor was going to come. Because you know, these people work at their own timing. It's like a time clock in the hospital. I don't know if you've never been there. You can wait for so much time because they're watching the clock for how they can charge you, you know. And you in there for a long time, you don't see a doctor. Long time you don't see a nurse. But when this male nurse comes, he's telling me this stuff for the BMW. All of my concern, the Lord knows those things. When these people going to come and tell me, this doctor going to come and examine me and tell me what's going on with my arm. What's happening with my arm? My heart is beating good. I'm breathing. Tell him about Jesus. And I missed it. Because he told me that his father said to him that he should think about a house first instead of a car. I should have asked him, do you know Jesus? But I pray that God was send even the woman that I ministered to in the hospital, the lady I ministered to, that she would get that opportunity to. We can't miss no chances. And at that time, I was thinking about me. And the Lord just convicted me that was a chance that I missed the sharing. We can't miss chances. We out of church, people.
We got to know who we are and whose we are. And once we know that, every chance that we get, we got to tell somebody about Jesus, about the light of this world, so they can get out of darkness. He says, verse 4, we can't even get through this. See, yet there are some in the church in Sardis, that's in the body of Christ, who have not soiled their clothes with evil. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He talking about the spiritual garments, not the shark skin suit, not the alligator shoes, the crocodile shoes. They have not soiled their spiritual garments. You know, Jesus help me, when we get to that place, you and I, when we have gotten to that place that we understand who he is, we know who he is, we believe in who he is, we ought not be soiling our garments anymore. Jesus. But we allow the world to pull us back in. Some of us do. I don't know who this is for out there in computer land. But if you're a preacher, you're a pastor, a teacher, a prophet, a prophetess, who you are, apostle, bishop, deacon, deaconess, usher, and you've called Jesus your Lord, your Savior, examine yourself, your life. See if you really walking in this light. Time is short. He said, hold fast to that which remains. You will lose all fear. If you make a decision to walk in the light of Christ, if you make a decision to honor him with your life, you will have no fear. He will take fear away from you. Life is just like a puff of air. It's like a shadow. It's like a flower that fades away. Can't hold on to it. But you can live it. Live it the way that God ordained for us to live as minister of the gospel. I know it's true because he cut at me right now. I can feel his presence. Let me just compose myself and get this word on the computer. The Lord is Jesus that we serve is real. And I want you to know that he's real and he loves us. He loves us very much. Give me one. Get myself back together because I'm weeping a little bit. He says, verse 5 says, listen. All who are victorious will be clothed in white. I will never erase their names from the book of life. But I will announce before my Father and his angels that they are mine. See, when we decide, make a decision. Because he gives us the choice. He gives us the choice. It's the same thing as the will. He gave us a choice that we could make a decision that we're going to live for him. He died for us. We can make that decision that we're going to live for him. And when we make that decision, he is proud enough and love us enough, hallelujah, that he tells the angels, the Father, he rejoices for us. This is what God does, this Jesus that we serve. He said, I will not erase your name from the book of life. Man, I'm telling you something. As I study this book of Revelation, it just blesses me. It just blesses me. Glory to God. We have to go deep down in this word. Go down in this word, and we have to hide this word in our heart. Don't just put it in your heart like you're putting it in a safe and don't use it. We got to activate the word in our lifestyle. Hallelujah. You got to live to live again. Don't just say, I'm living. I'm going to heaven. But you're not living to live again. You think you're going to heaven because you preach the word and you know how to exegize the word and all this stuff. You know how to parlay the scriptures to make them match and sound good. It's more than that. You receive the gift of salvation. You're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and all this. It's more than that. See, you read the Bible. You study the Bible every day. So I don't go to sleep unless I study the word of God. But it's more than that. Then you fuss at your wife, fuss at your husband, fuss at the children. Act a fool. No respect for people. No love, no compassion, no mercy. But you say you're going to heaven. It's much more than just preaching and teaching and prophesying and all this stuff. It's living this word. You got to become a lamp in this world. You got to keep your lamps filled and wicks trim all the time so that somebody else can see when the master comes. Not only you, but somebody else can see when the master comes. He said, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Don't just listen to them. You got to understand. People are studying the word, preaching the word, and really don't understand what he's saying because they don't live the word. The message to the church at Philadelphia, he says, write this letter to the angel of the church of Philadelphia. This is the message from the one who is holy and true. The one who has the key of David. What he opens, no one can close. What he closes, no one can open. Who God free, no one can put back in bondage again. Hear me. If you are truly free, no one can put you back in bondage. But you got to know, we got to know that we are free. But I would say who the Son set free is free indeed. When we know that we are free, we don't go back in the same stuff. Man, women had control of my heart. I was just like Solomon. Turning me every which way they could. But once I get to know Jesus, because I was lost in sin, blinded to sin. Blinded. Sin, it didn't look like it was sin. It was good to me. God opened my eyes and let me know it's sin. This is what you're doing. If you continue in this sin, you will die. I asked the Lord to take away the craving for it. I don't know about you. Some people like ice cream. I love ice cream. I love fruit. I don't know about you all, but I eat ice cream different. I have pineapple. I have different fruit and I have watermelon and I have strawberries and I have to put ice cream on it. But I have to control it. I can't have it every night, once in a while. But I have fruit nearly every day. And sometimes I'll have to have ice cream on it. But it's the same way with sin. I should like it the same way with sin. I like to have sin every day. You should like to sin every day. And I crave the fruit and the ice cream. I have to ask the Lord, don't let me eat so much because the ice cream not good for me. It's full of sugar, you know. That's the main ingredients. And it ain't good for me, even now with the blood pressure and the cholesterol and heart and stuff. You know, you don't wait till your heart get bad or you get high cholesterol. Watch what you eat, watch what you drink. I ask God to take away the craving for sin. Take away the craving for crack cocaine. Ask God to take away the craving for cognac and gin and vodka and all these different things that I used to like. Smoking the Marlboro cigarette. You know, Marlboro is a very strong cigarette. I just smoke about 2 packs a day. Minimum of a pack and a half. Because as I get high, the more I smoke. And one day the Lord took the taste completely out of my mouth. Some people say you do a little bit at a time. I tell you, with me, he took it completely out of my mouth. I step on the cigarettes, the whole pack. They said, well, you're the chain smoker. You can't stop. I said, watch me. Because I know he took it away. See, now you are the angel of the church, and God is speaking to you tonight. Today, God is speaking to us. We are church leaders. He's not the angel with big wings. You are the angel. The man, the woman that's leading God's church, people. You got to understand that God has closed doors in your life. You got to stop trying to open them doors. God has opened doors in your life. You got to stop trying to close those doors. People saying, I hear pastors saying, I'm not preaching anymore. I'm tired of preaching. They're not an old man. They're not feeble. I went over and ministered to a lady over in Dorchester with Evangelist Baxter. She was in a wheelchair. She had strokes. You hear what I said? Not strokes. She had strokes. Evangelist Baxter can tell you if she was here today. I went over there and prayed for that woman and ministered with her. Because the woman was in the wheelchair. She was a pastor before. She had a big house of worship. A lot of people follow her. She in a wheelchair. You ought to say, you ought to say, when she gave up, when she was still ministering the word of God, talking about Jesus. Just don't throw in the towel. If you can't talk, then, well, you can write. But you don't stop ministering. People say, well, I'm 70 years old. I retired. I'm 74. We still go. Pastor Stewart, he in his 72. He still go. You don't give up. This is your calling. The angel, you are the angel of God in the house representing God. That's why he got to come. Got to tell you. I said, God, what do you want me to teach about? God don't talk to you. He's going to talk to your spirit. He's going to talk to your spirit. But are you listening? He says, listen. I know all the things you do. Don't you think God know what we do? I pray this morning for God to forgive me. My thoughts. And even any action that I have done not known. Because, you know, sometimes this flesh is just sliding into things and do things that you don't realize that is offensive to the kingdom. Ask God to forgive you. Repent. You're not all that in a bag of chips. Pepsi Cola. I know all the things you do, and I have opened a door for you that no one can close. You have little strength, yet you obey my word. and did not deny me. See, God realized who we are. He knows who we are. He don't realize. He knows who we are. And he knows where we don't have all we need to do. We're not using all that we have because we have it. He gave us everything that we need pertaining to life. But we got to get to that place. I'm saying it all the time. You and I, church, has to get to that place that we know we are the church. We get to play holy when we get in the building. The building can't save you. The building can't take you to heaven. We got to know that we are the church of the living God. And we got to ask God to help us to walk according to his instructions. Well, the bishop said this, or the apostle said this, because we sure we got to do this. What did God say? Did God say? It's in the word. Don't just promote the ones that sound good to you or feel good to your walk. The ones that really burn you and cut you. I was sitting here and the Spirit was speaking to me, and I started weeping. I had to go on mute for a little bit. Sometimes you realize that you don't realize that we're denying God because God said to do this or do that, and we don't do it. We choose to do what feels good to us. No. I'm not going to teach on that today, God, because that don't feel good to me. Don't you know God hears your spirit? He just told us that. I know all, not didn't it say some? He said, I know all the things you do. This is the Spirit. God. He knows all the things we do. And we want to act like we all this before the other preachers. Don't even repent. We're still in chapter 3 of Revelation. Listen to what he says, verse 9. Look. I will force those who belong to Satan's synagogue, those liars who say they are Jews but are not, to come and bow down to your feet. They will acknowledge that you are the ones I love. See, let me tell you something. We really don't want people to worship us. But where you begin, in the word. When the word become the lamp and the light unto your feet and path, listen to me. People recognize who you are. And it will seem like they're worshiping you because they respect you. But when they get too heavy, you got to turn them back, point them back to Jesus. Hello. All this is because of Jesus. I'm nobody without him. Nobody. That's why I told the lady in the hospital yesterday, it's all Jesus. All Jesus taking away the fear from me. I don't see in the bed I'm having serious pain or something and just worry about it. Any pain come in my body, I call on Jesus. I said, Jesus, this belongs to you. The lady was laughing. I said, Jesus, this belongs to you. You know, this pain belongs to you. You know. Here, we getting to know who we are. He says, glory to God. Verse 10 says, because you have obeyed my command to persevere, I will protect you from the great time upon the whole world to test those who belongs to this world. This is why you don't need no fear. You don't need to walk around fearful. Because God, our Savior, is protecting us. He's shielding us. All this stuff he knows in the world. He knows the stuff that's coming because he allows it. Listen, man. I'm telling you something. This word here, I know on Sunday evening when I came in from the church building, I laid upon the bed and I said, Lord, you know, I got to prepare a word for Monday. And I said, what do you want me to teach about? See, because the word is for me first. I'm first partaker of this word. And God began to work on my heart. And he dropped in my spirit, who are you? Man, I'm telling you something. It took me to another dimension in him, to another realm in him. To hear him speak to me like that. He said, who are you? In other words, do you know who you are? And I lay there and meditate to us, Lord, where do you want me to talk about this? I got a sermon on Book of Revelation on the churches, talking about the lukewarm church. They said, I don't want you to talk about lukewarm today. I want you to ask the church, do they know who they are? This is what the Lord spoke to me. And then Monday evening, I had to go and have myself checked out. And they decide, well, we don't know what's going on. We don't see any problem, but we're going to keep you in the hospital overnight. I said, okay. Because God knows exactly what's going on. And if the ones he gives them the understanding and knowledge about medicine, say they're going to keep you. He said, well, it's okay. Because God is not going to let anything happen to you. He got you covered. He knows everything. Hallelujah. He says, let's read this verse again, because you about to get this. It's verse 10. I'm reading out the New Living Translation. He says, because you have obeyed my command to persevere, I will protect you from the great times of testing that will come upon the whole, not part of the world. He said the whole world. So it's happening in Africa to test those who belong to this world. See, people are going to try. Some people, because there's folk that say they belong to Christ. Listen to me. Interpret the scripture. There's some that say they belong to Christ. They're going to be tested. See, whether you belong to Christ or you belong to the world. We see a lot of preachers are giving up, throwing up. They preach the gospel, but they're living a promiscuous lifestyle. They call themselves bisexual because they want to fit in with this LGBTQ T plus one. They want to fit into it because that's where the money is. You understand? But I say H-E-L-L to that stuff. You know, I'm not going into it. I don't need it. When you get filled with the Spirit of God, and you know that you know that you know that you really feel, there's a richness that comes over you. What the richness you're talking about, Apostle? There's a peace that comes over you. You don't have to have any money. I am coming soon, he says. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take it away, take away your crown. If what you have is important to you, you will get a crown. Because you will not allow anyone to take it away from you. You'll do whatever you need to do. You know, like when you were dating your wife, how you did everything. When you was your husband was dating you, you did everything possible to make sure he didn't leave you for the next girl. You didn't want her to leave you for the next guy. You did everything. But it's the same way. Same in the natural, same in the spirit. He says, all who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of my God, and they will never have to leave it. And I will write on them the name of my God, and they will be citizens in the city of my God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from my God, and I will also write on them my new name. Oh, my God. Ain't Jesus awesome? You want to have the new name of Jesus on you or not? Because that's what I'm living for. All of us that call ourselves the church ought to be living for that. I want to be in the new Jerusalem. I want to be that place where my Savior is. I'm not just living here to be seen or heard by the people here on earth. I have a destination that I'm seeking. Hallelujah. This is what he tells you. Anyone who with ears to hear, let him listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. The last church, I believe, the church of Laodicea. Listen, we'll go somewhere else, the Lord says, tomorrow, if we are here in the land of the living. He says, write this letter to the angel of the church of Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot. I wish that you were one or the other. See, a lot of people are playing this stuff, Apostle, but this is real. God knows who we are. Folk only want to get a building to make money, to be seen, to be heard, to be part of the end quote of bishops and apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, so they can have the big congregations, big conventions, and they can rally together and go and have revivals and all this stuff, and convocations and stuff. But we are here because we are called out. One person was saying the other when they find God, and I told him, says God was never lost. He was never lost, and he was never blind or deaf. That my Bible tells me that he never slumber nor sleep. He's awake all the time, and he sees all and hears all. But what happened is that we think that we arrived because we know some scripture. Oh, my God. So the little thing happened to become so brave, so fearful. So fearful. Man, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He knows the end before the beginning. He tells me in this word that he watches us. He knows all things. Do you see it? He didn't say that I know something. He didn't say I open some doors. He said I close those that no one can open. And I open those that no one can close. He does all this for the church. For you, for me, for us. Sometimes we are trying to get back into the door that God closed. We're trying to get back into it. Instead of realizing that he closed the door, what am I trying to get back in there for? He's not going to close the holy door. Believe me, he's not going to close the holy door from you. He's not going to close the righteous door from you. But he said, you got to understand this. He said, I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. And he said, I wish that you were one or the other, either hot or cold. But since you are lukewarm water, neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. This is the NLT. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Jesus. In the Logos Bible, he says, because you are saying, I am rich and have become rich, I have need of nothing. You do not know that you are wretched, pitiable, and poor, and blind, and naked. See, God began to put this thing out here so real. Because he wants us, this is God wants us to look at ourselves, examine our own self. Take an inventory. He says, so I advise you to buy gold from me. Gold, this is NLT. Gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me, so you will not be ashamed by your nakedness. And ointment for your eyes, so you will be able to see. See, we need the thing that comes from God. That anointing that comes from God open your eyes. Lead us out of the dark place into the place of light so we can truly see. See, the world is blinding us. The activity of the world is blinding us. Not us, per se, on this line right now. But the activities of this world is blinding us. I was in the hospital. They were telling me, you know, they got this new cell phone now. And the phone does so much stuff, this new iPhone, 15 or 16 they got. And it does so much stuff, Apostle. I'm saying to myself, I got a little Galaxy 22. And the only reason I got this Galaxy 22, because the last one I had, the last phone I had was messing up real bad. So I have insurance on the phone, so they just sent me a phone in the mail. This is a while back. This is about, this one here is about 2 years, I think. And it's working fine. I keep it in one of those, it's in an army case. You know, tough thing like turtle shell. Very, very tough. And I don't think I'll replace that shell as if the arm, the clip-on thing break. But they say, well, I hear these, I'm listening to these young people talk, young nurses. They're talking. And they're talking with, I told my wife, I said, this all they do is talk. She was laughing. I said, this is all they do. They're going looking for the patients. They're talking. They just got a group of them talking. See, because the system is set up this way, even for some of the church folk, to keep them busy. The cars coming, the motorcycles, the bicycles, the mopeds and the scooters, all this stuff has got all this technology on them now. They got radios on the mopeds, you know, on the scooter. You can plug in your phone and charge the phone right on the scooter. All this stuff is all to keep you busy, keep your mind moving that way. But what does it do for us? There's nothing for our soul. See, we are lukewarm. We are caught up in the world system. And God wants to pull us out of the system into his system, where we are content being who I am, who we are, and what we have. We're satisfied. We're satisfied praising God. Hallelujah. This is what God wants. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I come out of the hospital yesterday. They want me staying around there playing around. I said, look, I got to go. They're nothing fine. And the doctor got to fill out a release form for me. And they're playing around. They're talking. They ain't talking about me. They're talking foolishness. So I told my honey, we got to go and pick up my granddaughter from her job. It's pouring down rain, lightning, everything. I said, look, we got to go. If we wait 5 more minutes, we going to miss picking up our granddaughter. She going to be ticked off, you know, because she got to stay out there, you know, or stay inside the building. And she don't want to be in the building. When she finished work, she want to go home. So we leave. You know, it still take us, usually the drive would take us about an hour and 15 minutes to get from the hospital home or to the granddaughter job. It took us almost 2 hours. And they want us to wait. They're going to bring up. I said, man, I'm not interested in signing the form. I got to get out of here. You know, so, wait, the doctors are coming up in the elevator. They're not coming up in no elevator. So I let her come home. Because I told them straight up in the hospital, I said, I'm not going to die because I belong to God. See, I told them, I said, you are playing too much games, and I don't like playing games. I'm a businessman. You know, if you see you're going to do something, do it. Then you got me waiting there on you, waiting on you because you're the doctor, you're the nurse. You know, and I got to stay there waiting because I want, I got what I need. See, that main thing is getting them arteries tied together. you know, on the bypass, and that's all I needed. God told me, he says, you know, he don't tell me go to the hospital too much, but that Sunday morning, Sunday, he says, go to the hospital. Go to the hospital. Don't go to church, and I went, and they fixed that. So I know I'm good. I'm good now. I'm good to do what he called me to do. So look, let's finish this thing up. Glory to God. You have to know, my God, if I don't teach you another word again on Blog Talk Radio, examine your own self. Because this message make me cry. I mean, just cut me right down to this heart. Examine yourself. No, we say that in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We say that about the Holy Communion. No, look, listen, my man, go into your own heart and look at your heart, examine your heart, and see if you really doing what the Lord called you to do, or are you putting on a show? Are you living this thing for him? Because if you're not living this thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 31, if you not doing this thing for him, ask God to forgive you. Repent. Because remember what he said, he know all things. So we can't fool him. Can't get ourselves together. Listen what he says. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He says, so I advise you, we read this verse already. He says, so I advise you to buy gold from me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You need to be saved. You need to be sanctified. He said, look, gold from me that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich also by white garments from me. So you will not be ashamed by your nakedness. An ointment for your eyes so you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love. You see, people don't want to be rebuked. You see, your pastor can't tell you nothing. So when your pastor tell you something, try to get you on right path, you run off. Who you think you are talking to me the way you're talking to me? This is what they say. You can't talk to me like that. Well, he called me in the office and talked to me. I ain't going back to that church. That's what we say. We know that we are the church, but this is what we say. I'm not going back to that church. I'm not going back to that line. He talked to me this way. He talked to me that way. I ain't going back to that. He ought to apologize to me on the line. Make me feel good. Make my flesh feel good. That's what they're saying. I'm not going back to that line. Let me tell you, you can't stop the line from flourishing. You can't stop the line from going forward. I can't stop it. It's God's line. You can't stop the church from growing. It's God's church. If you don't go, God's church ain't gonna grow. Because he does the drawing, not the preacher. You see a lot of people running down these places that call the church. They're running because they got itchy ears. They got itchy ears. You say, well, why Bishop so-and-so got 1,000 members? Ain't nobody getting saved. How many times you hear them people talking about salvation and open the altar and ask people to repent? Go to their service, if you don't mean, and see how many times you hear them ask people to come to the altar and repent. No, they give the street message. We don't have to talk about sin. People know that they're sinning already, so we don't need to talk about sin, but Jesus talked about it. If Jesus talk about it, we got to talk about it too. Oh, we don't have to talk about repentance. We don't have to talk about repentance. People know that they've been doing wrong. Jesus talked about repentance. The apostles talk about repentance. John the Baptist talk about repentance. They don't want to talk about it. because they don't want to hurt the people's feelings, but the people are going to die and go to hell, and the blood of the people going to be on their hands, like Ezekiel said. And the trumpet sound. That alarm sound. Let me tell you something. The sword going to come upon the people, take the people's lives, going to be on their lives, because they don't want to talk to the people. He said, I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. Turn from the stuff that you're doing that is not of God. He said, well, the preacher can't see me. The bishop can't see me. The evangelists don't know what I'm doing. The elders don't know where I am. The deacons don't know where I'm at. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. I just sing in the choir. Well, you're contaminating God's house. You're contaminating the worship. You know you fornicate. You know you committed adultery. And then you got the preacher sleeping with him. God, you think you have, how do you think the worship going to be? Does you think he's going to receive that worship? No. It's like a stench inside his nose. Hallelujah. That's what we talked about the worship that was not suitable to God. We talked about that sometime back. Hallelujah. Glory to God. People don't understand how powerful it is that when you go to the house of the Lord to be in right standing with him, don't understand. So, well, I can, you know, ain't nobody going to know what I'm doing. I'm the man of God. I'm the woman of God. And tonight we having a good time. Girl, we just having a good time. You stripped naked in the bed with her, she with you, and you say you're having a good time. And then you want to go before God and talking to God, and you wonder why it seems like you can't hear. But it's true, you can't hear nothing. You say, I've been talking to God all day long, and I ain't hearing that. God is not talking back because you have contaminated your temple. Your temple is contaminated, and you contaminate the atmosphere, so nothing is going up to heaven. He's rejecting your prayer. He told Ezekiel and told Isaiah and he told Jeremiah, don't pray for them people. Hallelujah. Don't pray. He said, look, I'm not going to receive the praise. He said, look, matter of fact, I'm turning my face against the praise. Let me tell you something. People don't want to understand that what God does. That because you pray, God answer no. How is your heart? You think because you went in and prayed and you use all them sophisticated words that God heard you? God listen, God receive. No, how's your heart? Pen and ask God to forgive you because you know that your thoughts were off. Your actions was off. That's why he said if you bring any gift, any offering, leave it at the altar. He said you bring an offering to the Lord, leave it at the altar. If you have aught in your heart against your brother or your sister, go and find them. And make it right. Then come back and offer because he's not going to receive it. Guess what? Your offering just going to sit at the altar. And so when the collection come by, I just want to give a big offering today because I made some money yesterday, made some money last week. I just want to give it up. You put in the pan, but there's no reward. There's no growth coming back from it. No increase coming back from it. Let's use that word. There's no harvest coming back from it. Why? Because you give and your heart is messed up. Remember what he said. He know all things. If you don't hold anything else, remember this. That God says he knows all things. That means he sees and hears all things. So nothing is escaped from him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have to allow him to correct us. Why? Why does he want to correct us? He wants to correct us because he don't want the enemy to steal us. He don't want the enemy to have advantage over us. Without correction, there's no growth. I always say that all the time. Without correction, there's no growth. But they're rather, some folk, rather you come and get him a pacifier like a baby. Tell them something good. Oh, you're doing so good. You're doing so well. I'm just so happy with you. But you don't want you to say but, because but don't come and tell them something. You know? But you know there's some things in your life, some some areas of life that I see that you need to really work on. They don't want you to say that. You notice God allowed to see some things that they need correcting. I need some correction. And said, Apostle, you know, you've been saying something. Like, yeah, there I was in there. And I say something about this bishop that's bisexual. And he had done some stuff, and it got, and his wife died. And I say something to a pastor called me. He said, Apostle, I just want to talk to you. Well, I know I didn't say nothing bad, because what I said was the truth. And I wasn't speaking about something erotic. I just talked the truth. And the pastor said to me, he said, Apostle, you know, I know you're a man of God. He says, but, you know, some of these people that come, that are here today, were here today, they know this preacher you're talking about. And so I said, well, I appreciate you telling me. And I said to him, I said, but Pastor, you know, I haven't said anything bad about it. Told the truth. You know, but, you know, people can drop your name if you tell the truth. I'm not saying that you're doing this to God's people. I'm telling what you do. See, correction. See, we'll let people go, die and go to hell because of their gift, because of their title, because of the way they preach. We'll let them die and go to hell instead of getting them correction. No, I love you so much, I tell the truth. And if you get mad and don't want to talk to me anymore, then so be it. God will give me somebody else that'll talk to me. You know, you have to get to this place that you love your brother or your sister so much that you would tell them the truth. And then, you know, after a while, they'll come to the place that they understand you told the truth. Come back. If they want to come back, if the enemy let them come back. Because, you know, sometimes some of the enemy has some power. Because a lot of people see, yeah, I have no power. But that's not true. The enemy has some power. And I know this because after 40 days of fasting and praying, the Bible says he took Jesus four different places. So he led Jesus four different places. So I know he got the power, you know. And it's just that he don't have as much power as the God that you have. You know, when you recognize that you have the power of God, the true God living on the inside of you, then you can stand up and stand flat-footed. You know, he says, look. I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me in my throne, just as I am sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Don't just listen. Don't just hear. But you got to understand what he's saying to the churches. God is speaking to us constantly. He is speaking to us. He wants us to hear him. And he wants us to allow him to lead us. There's no if or buts about it. You know, he wants us to allow him. See, God can't lead until we allow him. You understand? Because he gave us a will and he gave us a choice. If we don't allow him, just like my dog, my granddaughter dog, sometimes she'll jump, she wants to go, she'll tell you she wants to go. I mean, you almost can hear her. She'll look at you, and then she'll walk away from you, and she'll walk towards the door. That tells you she wants to go out. Or sometimes she'll go, and she'll butt the door with her nose. You know she wants to go out. God is speaking to our hearts that he wants to lead us. But now we got to submit, and like Bishop James says, and commit to what God wants. We can't get it wrong and say, I'm going to do this and do that. No. You got to submit and you got to commit. We don't want to submit, neither do we want to commit. It's got to be your time or no time at all. You know, the only time I'm not going to be here on Blog Talk Radio is if the satellite system shut me down. I can't come on the computers. Or if I got to be at the hospital. That's the only time. I'm not just going to lay in the bed and say, well, you know what? I'm not going on Blog Talk Radio. Because I have given this, God gave me this ministry to watch over. And he wakes me up. When he wakes me up, I say, Lord, I thank you. Because I know there's some people that didn't wake up this morning. And after that, I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? He says, turn on the computer. I'm telling you, it's no joke. Sometimes I'm laying there on the bed, and I'm so tired because I was up all night. I didn't sleep well that night, and I don't know. In the morning, you know, when you're up, maybe watching TV or whatever you're doing, you are too tired. In the morning, at a certain time of the morning, your body go into sleep mode, which is so deep. All you want to do is sleep. You don't want to get out of bed. And the Holy Spirit was says, just like I'm talking to you, I'm tired. But the moment I turn that TV, that computer on, it's like I got a spiritual injection from heaven. This is no joke. All of a sudden, my body, my eyes, I come alive. I'm no more tired. That's when you submit and commit. You don't feel like you want to study. You don't feel like you want to do anything. But if you submit and commit, he'll do the rest. He'll energize you. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for the word that you have given us. And we pray, O God, now that you speak continually to those all over the world. Lord, let this word do exactly what you sent it to do, Lord. Convict, deliver, and restore. Because we know that you love us so much, Father, that you have given your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him be ashamed. We pray, Father God, that today that someone will come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior all over the world. You said that there are troubles and there are testing going on all over the world. But we know, O God, that you are triumphant. Yes, Lord. We know that you have given us the victory by the shed blood of Calvary. We ask, Father God, that you heal and deliver and restore today. Blind eyes today. Touch deaf ears today. Crippled legs today. Every form of cancer today, Lord, I ask you to touch. Somebody's heart is in real bad shape, Lord. Even worse than mine. We ask you, God, to mend every place that needs to be mended. Lord, cause the heart to be recuperate. The doctors say the heart is dying. It's failing fast. But, Father, I know that you have the final word. Lord, you have taken me with 90% blockage that I should have been in the graveyard with preachers talking over my dead body. But you kept me in this world of life to do what you called me to do. Lord, I don't proclaim to be anything more than what you said I am, but I proclaim boldly that you are all that you are. Know you to be my Savior, to be my Lord, and my soon coming King. Now, if you out there in computer land, the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. It is very simple. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall have everlasting life. Whosoever, that means anybody. The Bible says that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. and saying, this is the condemnation that God has sent his son into the world. Their deeds were evil. They loved darkness more than light because their deeds were evil. Now, Peter said, let every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is Acts 2 and 38. That is their salvation than any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only one, only name, only person that can save your life. Your pastor can lay hands on you, can put some oil on you, but Jesus is the one that does the saving. He's the one that does the renewing in your spirit. When you give your life completely to him, you repent, because the repentance is the key. It's the beginning that you have to repent. That means that you turn away from sin. You're no longer sinning. You make that decision that no longer will I sin, but I'm going to live for God. And you ask God to come into your heart. That's the key. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3 and 23. Romans 6 and 23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, there's a spiritual death that's coming. Because I know people say, well, I'm just living, and when I die, I die. I've only got this one life. But no, the Bible said it's a second death. Chapter 20, Revelation, says there's a second death, and it's called the spiritual death. He said, blessed are those that are in the first resurrection. So I want to be in the first resurrection. That's why I'm asking God that every area of my life that is not right, that he make it right. Help me. Show me what I got to do. Because I know I don't cross every T and dot every I, but I want to. So I have to come before him every day in repentance. And when he convicts me, I said, thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Abba, because I know he knows what to do, and he knows what I need. The Bible says in the book of Mark, because we talked about that, you know, a lot of people said about the baptism. He says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Ephesians chapter 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Don't care how much we do. It don't get us saved. Don't care how much we give. It don't get us saved. Believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, turn away from your sins. That's the first thing you do. You repent. John the Baptist preached it. Jesus preached it. The apostle preached it. We have to repent. And we have to turn away. Don't just say, I repent, and keep doing the same thing. It's like Russian roulette. You know, you keep spinning the barrel with one shot. You're trying to think that you, when you squeeze the trigger, it will not go off. But if you keep living in sin, eventually sin will take you out. That's the same way we did the Russian roulette with one bullet in the gun. Eventually somebody get blow off their head. I hate to use that analogy, but that's the truth. If you're going to go with Christ, you have to repent, and you have to make that decision. You know you can't do it on your own. That's why he gave you the Holy Ghost. In Acts 2 and 30, he gives you the Holy Ghost so that the Holy Ghost will help you, help me, help us. Times in my life that there's some stuff that come upon me that I can't do it. And I said, Lord, I need your help. Because this thought that I'm dealing with right now, this thing that's coming at me right now is too strong for me. Even though I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. So I have to activate the Holy Ghost. Say, Lord, I need you. See, the Holy Ghost is there to help us. Help me walk. Help me walk out of darkness into his light. That's what the Holy Ghost is there for. So call upon him when you repent. Because, see, you're going into this life that glorified Christ. And it's not an easy life. But it's attainable with the help of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes I'm trying to do some things. And even when I go in the world and I'm trying to do some work, and I know I've been to school for my trade, and I have a master's degree. So, and I got to do some work. And then before I go, I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, look, I'm going out to do this job. I got to go service this furnace or this air condition. And I said, Lord, I need you, Holy Spirit, to show me an easy way to do this job so I don't have to stay on it a long time. Because I do flat service. I said, well, the job going to cost $300, $400. I must do it in time. I can't spend the whole day or the whole week working on the job. I wouldn't make any money. And he would show me schematic on the door, because the door panel. I look and I read the schematic. He has shown me exactly what to go to. It's the same way with your walk. You gotta take this thing before the Lord. I'm using these natural analogies. Take the sin that you are indulging in, or you're about to indulge in, and say, Lord, this is it. This is this stuff. This woman want me. This man want me. And I know I shouldn't be doing this, but Lord, my flesh is going off like a bell. I need you to help me to withstand this. And I guarantee you that he will help you, because that's what he's there for. And then you can say, I remember you said in 1 John 4:4 that I am of God and I've overcome them, for greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So you just tell him, bring back the word to him. And guess what? He would honor his word and you would be free to go on doing what. So if you don't know Jesus, the Lord Jesus, say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge my sin and they are ever before me. Today I come to you as a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe in the word that said that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, I will be saved. I believe this in my heart and I'm confessing with my mouth right now. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on that old rugged cross on a hill called Golgotha, or the skull, or Calvary, and that you were buried in an old rugged tomb. Excuse me, I'm hearing a lot of stuff. In a borrowed tomb, and the Father raised you up on the third day. I believe this in my heart, that with a confession in my mouth. Jesus, I denounce Satan and all of the world system and his agents right now. I denounce it right now, Lord Jesus. And I come to you with expectation, knowing that you are the only one that can set me free, that can save my soul. My heart is open now, Jesus, so I invite you to enter and sit on the throne of my heart. I no longer want to be the king of my life, but I want you to take complete control. In your name, Jesus, I pray. If you just said that on common prayer, even though I'm distracted here, if you said that on common prayer and you believe in your heart, you have just received the gift of salvation. I tell you the truth. Jesus has just entered in. So, my friend, get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. We usually come out of Acts a lot of times. A lot of times, different times, we come out the book of Acts here on this, because we like the apostles. We really love the apostles. They are our brothers who speak to us. Study the word, because it's the word that's going to change your life. It's the word that's going to make the difference in your life. It's going to help you to live the life that pleases God, the word of God, okay? So call up a pastor, preacher, teacher. Tell them that you received the gift of salvation and that you are filled with the Holy Ghost, because the Bible says so. And you want to baptize, be baptized. But before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, everybody that you can get. You want witnesses. You understand? You want witnesses to this great occasion. And I always like to say, when I was in the world, I had my friends and co-workers. We all used to go down to the club. You know, I always go to the club. You know, never went with myself, by myself. Always had witnesses. You were having a good time. Well, it's the same thing in the kingdom now. You having a good time, but have some witnesses. Invite the witnesses so that when you go down that pool, making that open declaration that you have given your life to Christ Jesus, they be witnesses. And the people going to say, even your nephews and your cousins and uncle and aunt and maybe your mother, father, brother, they're going to say, man, I didn't believe that he was going to, or she was going all the way for Christ. But yeah, they don't have a choice but to believe. They see you go down the water. And then when you come and put that water, we call it a liquid grave, make that decision to continue by joining the church, a body of Christ, body of believers that are walking, living, and walking out Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I want you to find one that is teaching and preaching the gospel, because everybody aren't preaching the gospel. Some people are preaching, name it and claim it, prosperity message. That's what they call it. Understand? But you want to get into a body of believers preaching a message that would help you to get to the place in Christ Jesus that all of us want to get to. And on a place that is holy, the place that is righteous, the place that brings glory and honor to him. You want to get in that. And then when you find that body, become participator in what's going on. You know, don't be a spectator. A lot of people come just to spectate, see what the pastor is saying. And then they critique the pastor and go back and, pastor, I can preach better than him, but they're not living. I can't preach better than anybody. I'm trying to get this thing where I can glorify him. So I thank God for each and every one of you that received the gift of salvation. And I pray that you walk it out, that you live it out, and that God continue to draw you closer and closer to him. Because, you know, the walk and the draw doesn't stop. A lot of people just think that, well, because you receive the gift of salvation, that's it. No, the walk doesn't stop, and the draw doesn't stop. He is constantly drawing us closer and closer to him, you know, closer and closer. So I thank God for you all. I pray God bless each and every one of you that heard this message today, and those that would hear the message at a later day when we get to put it up on Facebook, that it will be drawn closer. Now the Bible doesn't lie. Apostle, one time, just last week, I was able to post this out to hundreds of people. I mean, it's going on Facebook, and thousands of people can download it, if not millions. And how many people go on there to pull it? We in the thousands upon thousands of people are hearing us. But just last week, I was able to send out the message on my own. Now all I can do, so now they might go back there in a week or so, because they're constantly doing something with the computer system over there in New York and New Jersey. Now I can only put it up on Facebook. And they talked about how they were going to come against Christianity, against the church. And that's what they're doing right now, because they're limiting you and controlling you how much you can do with the gospel, how much you can push the gospel. But it's going to get even worse. That's why every chance we get, and it hurt me that I didn't tell that young man yesterday about Jesus. Every chance we get, we got to share Jesus and the kingdom, every chance we get. So the line is open if anyone wants to come on in and add something, help us to grow. The line is open.
Praise the Lord, Apostle. That was a dynamic message, I'm telling you, praise God. And I know that the word that came forward helped people across America and around the world, wherever it was heard, praise God. And I tell you, it was real, real powerful. as you were saying earlier in the message, I got it in bits and pieces because I was moving back and forward in my home, you know, doing different things back and forth. So I didn't hear everything, but I was getting it in bits and pieces. But the part that I did receive was real, real good. I just speak about Ezekiel and how that Ezekiel was sent by God to the children of Israel. He wasn't sent to a strange people. He wasn't sent to, you know, people that had not been given God's covenant, but he was sent to the people who God had given his covenant to through Moses, the children of Israel. And he said for Ezekiel not to be afraid of their faces, because a lot of times when you minister the word to people, some people be ready to receive it. They want to receive it, but then some that are walking in their sins and enjoying what they're doing rather pleasure than godliness, some of them don't want to hear the word. You know, the enemy that's on the inside of them don't want them to hear the word, don't want them to be set free or made free. And of course the Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. So, you know, the enemy try to curve them, cause them to go in another direction, walk away from the gospel when it's being preached. But nevertheless, as you were saying, you know, we have to tell it, because Jesus sent the disciples, who became apostles, when he sent them out, and he made a plan to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And you went on to take it a little bit farther concerning the signs and wonders that would follow those of us that would believe. And you say you missed that opportunity of ministering to that one young man, even though you're ministering to thousands, thousands upon thousands. At one time it had got up to over 200,000. I believe it was said one time on Block Talk, several times on Block Talk, that you were reaching over 200,000 people. And I have a little cough that dealing with God. God got it, though. And God is going to handle up on that for me. It's already done by faith. And but you was yet concerned about that one soul, that one man. And you said, you know, just sorry you didn't, you know, ask him, do you know Jesus? You know, because it's a lot of people that say they know Jesus, but they don't. Their lifestyle tells a different story from what's coming out of their mouth. And so, you know, we have to let people know, as you said, you know, and it kind of, it grieves us somewhat if we let a soul get away, somebody get away when we thought we had an opportunity to really minister to them, because it is said in Ezekiel, you know, various other places in the Bible, that we have to minister. You know, the strong got to bear the infirmities of the weak. You know, we got to take up our cross and follow him. And as Jesus has suffered in the flesh to get us what he needed to get to us, we have to arm ourselves likewise with the same mind to suffer so that we can get to others what they need to have, what we've already received. And a lot of times when we don't do it and have the opportunity to do it, it grieves us. And that's people who really love God. Really love God. When people don't really love God, they're not concerned about a soul. They're not concerned about people receiving the gospel. They're not concerned about people repenting, turning away from the thing that they know is wrong and turning to God before it's eternally too late. They're not concerned about telling them that heaven is a real place and hell is a real place. And if they don't repent, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. There's no repentance after the grave. And so we're just speaking about some people having 35,000 people, but they're not preaching against sin. They said, well, the people know that they're sinning already. You know, they know that they're sinning already, so I don't have to tell them what they're doing. But Jesus told them what they were doing. Now, you made that so plain. Not only did he tell them what they were doing, some of them he called snakes. Some of them he called vipers. He called them wolves in sheep clothing, and you know, he said different things about them concerning them. And how that we are to recognize them with the spirit of discernment, you know, and because he gives us the gifts and the fruit of the spirit so that we can discern who's serving God and who's not serving God. And there was a lot of powerful things that you said, even though I was listening in between, moving and doing things and getting things done in here that I needed to do. And that's just the way it is. And it hurted me several times when I had the opportunity to witness to somebody, and I didn't do it. But then after I left, I thought about it. Man, I should have told him this or told him that. You know, if those people go out and if they lose their soul, my God, I don't want that, you know, given to my charge because I failed to deliver the word to them at the time. Because, see, people are not promised the next minute. They're not promised tomorrow, you know. At one time I was ministering to a young man and he was letting me know. He said, I need to be baptized. I know I need to be baptized right now. You know, let's skip the red tape, you know, because the Bible talks about repentance preceding baptism. You know, repentance is a prerequisite, you know. Teaching is a prerequisite as well. Teach them, you know, and then after folk get baptized, they still need to be taught how to be kept after getting baptized, how to, you know, fight for their salvation that they've received. You know, when God told Israel in the Old Testament to go in and possess a land, he had already given it to them by faith, but they still had to go in and fight to possess it. Now, there were some times when they didn't need to fight. Judah didn't have to fight. Jehoshaphat didn't have to fight at the time he was given a particular land, given the spoils of the people. Just, you know, they sang and they prayed and worshiped God and play, you know, music, and the enemy turned on themselves, and Jehoshaphat and them just needed to go in and just pick up the spoils. Took them 3 days to get everything, you know what I'm saying? But then there are times that even though the land is given to us, the battle is given to us, you know, we still have to go in and take it. We still have to go in and take it. Sometimes God will cause the people's hearts to become melted like water, in that they don't have a defense against the word of God. There's nothing that could stand up against the word and be successful. And so, you know, God will tell us, you know, I've given you this property. I've given you this land. You know, I've given you these people. You understand what I'm saying? Their hearts have become melted like water. They fear you. And it's not so much that they fear you, but they fear me, you understand, that have sent you. And because they feared the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, they feared the God who brought Moses across the Red Sea on dry land and you know, took care of them in the wilderness and brought them over to Jordan and all. They feared him because they had heard about the miracles that he performed and all. So it wasn't so much that they feared the people. They feared the God of the people. And their hearts became melted like water because they realized, look, it's not that we're going to just be fighting against Israel. We'll be fighting against Israel's God, and we don't have a chance against Israel's God. We've heard how powerful and how awesome he is. And of course, they become afraid. And so it was easy for Israel to take the land of giants and all because of the fear that it hit the hearts and minds of the giants. Basically, all they had to do was to go in and just take the land. And so, you know, one young man I was ministering to, you know, he said, look, just, you know, get past the red tape. You know, just, I need to be baptized. You know what I mean? I'm not doing the things I was doing. I've repented. I just need to be baptized right now. Would you, you know, baptize? And I said, yeah. I said, I'm going to do it. But, you know, I want to take a couple of days and teach him to make sure that what he had, you know, was that word, you know, and I took a little while, you know, maybe 4 days or so, or 5 days of teaching, so that, you know, I was taking him through a course, a class that's called a Search for Truth class, and I was taking him through that so that he could receive that teaching. The Bible said, teach them. See, go ye therefore and teach all nations. See, baptizing them. So teaching is a prerequisite. And so I said, well, let me teach you first. Let me teach. And so what happens is, in the process of about 3 or 4 days later, he died. See, he was all the way to the end. I didn't know he was that far. See, and we don't know the day or the hour, you know, you understand? And so I learned a lesson from that. I said, you know what? I'm not going to, never no more. You know, like I said, did that young man go to hell? Well, I don't have a heaven to put him in to reward him, and I don't have a hell to punish him. And he really was crying out. You understand? He wanted to be baptized. I mean, he loved God and all, you know. But I feel that was an error that I made, but I couldn't keep holding myself because I didn't baptize him right away when he wanted to be baptized. But I really learned a lesson there. I said, you know what? I'm not going to hold candidates no longer. When people repent and they, you know, they want to get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, in the Bible, the Ethiopian eunuch, after hearing the word of God, he was baptized the same day in the desert. So important that people get baptized, that God put water in the desert. And so got baptized the same day. The Bible says when the Apostle Peter received the Holy Ghost in 120 on the day of Pentecost, and he was the one that was basically preaching the word of God, but they all was ministering the word because the Bible says that there were Jews out of every nation under heaven, every nation under the sun, who heard them, heard the gospel preached in their own language wherein they were born. So not only Peter was speaking the word of God, the whole 120 was ministering the word because the Bible said they heard them speak in the language wherein they were born. So God know how to get his word to all nations, even nations that don't even speak the same language. God got a way of them receiving the word of salvation in their language. And so the Bible says that Peter preached the gospel and said, let every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. He preached more than just baptism on that day. He was preaching holiness. He was preaching about receiving the Holy Ghost, receiving the power of God, and that the promise was to them and to their children and to all that were far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, everyone that would have an ear to hear when the gospel is preached, to receive it and, you know, be chosen of God and elected of God, ordained of God to be one of the ones to obey this gospel and be a carrier of this gospel, one who would minister this word to someone else. And the Bible says on the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And then I look at John the Baptist's disciples who got rebaptized by the Apostle Paul in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. The same day that, this more excellent way was preached to them, you know, the Bible says that they were baptized. You understand? The same day when Paul laid his hands upon them, they received the Holy Ghost and spake in tongues and prophesied in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts the same day. And then in the city of Samaria, the gospel was preached to them. And the city began to have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God was saying through Philip. And the Bible says that the city of Samaria began to believe and repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Peter and John were sent to them from Jerusalem, who came down to Samaria, laid hand on the Samaritan people, and they received the Holy Ghost. They received the anointing of God, the power of God, of course. All of that was in one day. In one day this was done. And Simon tried to buy the Holy Ghost with money, and we know the story of what happened, you understand, to him, how that, you know, Peter told him and his money would perish, because he thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. And now some people think that they could just do anything with money. Right now, the presidency of the United States of America, money got a lot to do with it. Donald Trump would have been in all kinds of trouble right now, but he buys his way out of it. He's not been convicted because he buys his way out of it. You know what I'm saying? And that type of thing. And, of course, Joe Biden and others. It's a big money thing. And Mason's got a lot to do with it. They buy positions by rank, being Masons and all. You know, if you've got enough money, you could buy the rank. You could buy way past a 33 and a half degree of whatever it is that the majority of the Masons, most of them, reach that rank. But it goes way beyond that, 75, 80, 90 degree Masons that most Masons don't even know about. And they buy their way. If they got enough money, they can buy that position, that rank. You know, and that's what so many people are doing. They think that their money, you know, can do anything, even though the Bible says that money answereth all things. You're living right, living a holy life, you know what I'm saying, and you're not worshiping money, you're worshiping God, then God will bless us with money to be used for the glory and honor of God. And the Bible says that money answered all things. Well, in the evil, on vice versa to that, on the evil side, money, they think money answered all things for them too. You know, they just, you know what I'm saying? They could put out hits on people, and people will kill other people because of the love of money. You know, they'll rob from their own parents. They'll kill their own children. The children kill the parents. You understand, for the love of money, and so money answers all things, you know, on both sides, you know, the bright side and also the pessimistic side, you understand. And so we just have to be a people that don't love money, because it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. You know, it's good to have money. And it's all right to ask, you know. Some don't have because they don't ask. You know, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. So it's all right to ask God for money. You know, he know we need it, but still, you know, he knows we need healing, but still he wants us to ask him to heal our body. And anything that we expect to have from God, we got to ask, we have to pray, and we have to have the expectancy of receiving it, trusting and believing that God will bless us with it. Even though the Bible says for us to, search out God first, you know, first seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things are going to be added unto us. Of course it is, but of course he still wants us to ask. You understand? He still wants us to ask, you know, just showing forth that we respect him and that we love him and that, you know, we're just not doing this on our own or even getting on our own, that we know it's him that's blessing us, you know. And so I had said, I won't ever, when somebody want to be baptized, you understand what I'm saying, we go in and baptize them when they say they want to get baptized. And I'm not going to wait around anymore, because anything could happen. So many drive-bys, so many things. Now we say, well, you know, God is not going to let nothing happen to anyone. You know, once they say they want to be baptized, God is going to protect them. Well, I believe that. But I also believe that people have a certain time that they are here, and when their time is up, their time is up. And there's nothing else they're going to be able to do about it. You know, once their time is up, that's it. Now, God can extend years like he did for Hezekiah. You know, he can extend some years. But you don't find too many in the Bible where God extended their years. You understand? Excuse me, there's a few. You understand what I'm saying? So when that come up about being baptized and people saying, I want to do it, you know, where can I get this done at? You know, where can I, you know, and not only, you know, can people get baptized over where I am, but there are so many churches that we know that we can, you know, refer them to. And even in different cities around the United States and different things and places around the world as well, you know, you can recommend people. Say, look, in your state, there's several churches that baptize in Jesus' name, and give them the name of those churches. You understand what I'm saying? And go over and ask them, pastor duty baptized in Jesus' name. You know, and, you know, we recommend them to a lot of places. You know, we can't get around to baptize everybody, but we could recommend them to places. I see where people come to me, and I bring them, and sometimes I see where we baptize about 18 people in one day. Another time we baptized 101 people in 1 month's time. 101 people. They didn't all get baptized the same day, but they all came in within that month. But each time they came in, on the day they wanted to get baptized, the time they wanted to get baptized, we took the time to get it done. Because I don't ever want to feel like I felt at that time when that young man said, look, let's skip the red tape. You know, it's just you know, baptize me in Jesus' name, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to be. I need to do it today. Please skip the red tape. And I said, well, look, let me just teach you first, because the Bible says to teach first. And you know, well, now the Bible also says to teach after. So you know, I got some experience there. I said, not only am I going to teach, but when they're ready at the time that they want to get baptized, we're going to find a way to get them baptized, because with the help of God, because this is what God wants. This is where they did it in the Bible. They did it the same day. They didn't put it off and say, look, we're going to have a teaching for, you know, 30 days. Or we're going to have a teaching for 2 months. And then after that, we're going to baptize everybody all at the same time. People die within that time. I've heard of people dying on the mourner's bench, they called it, waiting for 10 days. You know, in other words, they have to see a vision. In some denominations, they have to see a vision before they could get baptized. And they sit on the mourner's bench for 10 days on that mourner's bench before they can be baptized. And then they have to come with that testimony about what they saw, what God showed them. And when they come and say that, look, God showed me this or showed me that, I had this encounter, I had this, you know, this something that was shown to me. And then, you know, hold on 1 second. Something is going on around me in my background now. And so now I'm just at the point now when somebody tell me that they want to get baptized in Jesus' name. I know the teaching must come first, but evidently they have to be then heard something that caused them to want to get baptized. They have to be then heard it probably before they even got to me. Somebody said something that brought a type of conviction on their heart that they just felt that they needed to just get this done. And so now I don't put it off no more. You know, I take and baptize them the same day. I don't do that because, you know, people have died, like I said, on that mourner's bench, waiting within those 10 days to see that vision. You know, and then after they see that vision, you know, now, you know, they're ready to be baptized. And people that I know personally died on the mourner's bench waiting for those 10 days, never saw the 10 days. And so now that the eyes of my understanding is opened up, I say I'm not waiting to baptize nobody no longer. Once they tell me they want to be baptized, we're going to get this done, because I'm not going to wait. If I got to do it in an outdoor pool, you understand, if I got to do it in a horse trawl, if I got to do it in a pond, if I got to do it in a river, after, you know, measuring and make sure that the water is not too deep to do it in the ocean or in the lake. I baptized several people in the lake. One lady said, look, I don't want to get baptized in the pool, but I need to get baptized now. Could you please bring me out to the lake? I want to get baptized where they got plenty of water. Well, is that scriptural? Yes, it is, because the Bible says that, you know, that, you know, the baptism took place at Arnon because there was much water there. And so, you know, when they get convicted in their hearts and this is what they want to do, then it's up to us, you know, to do it and not put it off, because people are not promised tomorrow. And so I know of people that wait like that, and sometime it never happened. One time a man waited, and he must have had over 20-something people to get baptized, because he took time to teach him, and then he said, okay, we're going to do it on such and such a date, but I want you to keep coming to the class. And people kept coming to the class, and after 20-something days, after a period of time, I don't remember how long it was, but he baptized about 20-something people. One didn't show up on baptism night that they were supposed to do it, and his wife was inside the pool. Just about everybody that got baptized that night was coming up out of the pool speaking in tongues. Everybody was coming up, being baptized in the name of Lord Jesus, and it was coming up out of that water, speaking in tongues, each and every one of them, over 20-something people coming up, speaking in tongues. And this one lady, she was the last one to get in that pool. And she got baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. This was the name that was invoked over her. And she came up, and instead of speaking in tongues, she just came up crying, and she kept crying, and she kept crying, and nobody knew why she was crying. Now, she never did receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. I'm not saying that there are not other evidences, but she didn't speak in tongues. That was the evidence on the day of Pentecost. That was the evidence in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. That was the evidence in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, and so on and so on. And so I said that to say this, enemy trying to snatch it from me in the name of the Lord. And so she came up crying. Everybody else had come up speaking in tongues. And so what happened was the next day, now her husband was supposed to be in the pool with her. He was supposed to come in and get baptized also. They were supposed to get baptized the same night, but he didn't. The next day, the lady husband died. She don't know what she was crying for, but evidently God must have was just she must have had the feeling or something was being shown to her that caused her to get sad, and you know, she missed, you know, really, really just receiving the Holy Ghost, the power of God, because her mind must have was on her husband. But the next day that man died, and I mean they had bought a big old home together. Big, beautiful upstairs and downstairs home together. And, oh, my God, I'm telling you, the pastor rushed over there when he heard that, you know, she called the pastor right away, called, the for the doctors, the paramedics, different ones to come. Well, the pastor beat the paramedics there. And he tried to raise the man from the dead. I'm telling you, he just prayed over him and say, you know, arise, and you know, and the different things he was saying, you know, let his soul return back unto him. Pray the prayer, trying to get him to come back to life, but it was too late. He died. He did not come back alive. Now some people we know have risen from the dead, but he didn't. He wound up having a funeral, and that woman had that big, big old house, and then they had a few people from the church that went in and sort of, you know, stayed with her for a little while so that she could have some company, so she just wouldn't be over there by herself in that great big old house like that. But see, all I could say is that he missed the day of his visitation. I don't know what else to say about it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But when people have the opportunity to do it, and when they want to do it, you know, it's best for the pastors to take some time. And I'm going to say this, and then I'll be finished, Apostle. There was another church that had this in Texas where they had thousands and thousands and thousands of people at, but you don't ever hear them preach salvation. It's more of a church where a place where there's this motivating speaking that's going on. There was a young lady that a friend of mine had ministered to and ministered repentance and you know, ministered salvation, ministered to this young girl to believe, trust in Jesus, and about the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, according to Acts 2:38. And she wind up seeing it. And she said, they're not preaching this over at this big church where I am. I don't hear this kind of preaching. And so she said, well, I'm going to come over there, over where you are, and I want to get baptized in Jesus' name. And so he brought her over to the church, and what happened was the big pool that they had at the church was damaged. Now, they could have filled it up with water, but the water was going to leak out. But, you know, it wasn't going to leak out, you know, too fast in that they couldn't baptize. But they didn't fill up the pool because of perhaps, I don't know exactly, but I know it was a crack in the pool, and they didn't want to, I guess, the high water bill. But the thing about it, they had a little portable pool that all they had to do was blow up. You know, even if it would have been deep enough to baptize her. They didn't take the time to blow up the pool. They didn't feel like doing it. After a service, they didn't feel like doing it because they hadn't ministered the word already, did what they felt they were called to do at the time. But when the young lady came forth and said she wanted to be baptized in Jesus' name, they said, well, the pool is damaged right now. And the guy said, well, what about the portable pool that, you know, that we've baptized in the past? They said, well, that, you know, if you just come back in a week, you know, we have this pool fixed. It'll be ready. And we'll baptize her in a week. But what happened was, when she didn't get baptized that day, she never came back no more. She really never came back no more. As a matter of fact, she wound up because, you know, her feelings was down a little because they didn't do it at that time. She wanted to do it, and she wound up going back to her church and wound up back in that church where the motivating speaking is. You know, so I did say one more, but I do have one more, definitely. Then there was this other church. They so holy, like you say, the apostle, you know, we're not supposed to think more higher than we ought to think. If a man thinking himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. You know what I'm saying? And this particular, they don't even believe in women ministers, but they do baptize in Jesus' name. But they don't believe in women ministers. They don't believe in women wearing pants. And so this lady came in, and she had pants on. But she sat in the service, and she became convicted because of the word that came forth, and she came up. She had pants on that evening. And she you know, I want to be baptized. They said, oh, sister, look, we can't baptize you. You're going to have to come back another time. You know, we don't baptize women, you know, with pants. So now, look, they had robes there that they baptized people in who, you know, wanted to come out of their clothes that didn't want to get their clothes all wet up and thing. You know what I'm saying? They had robes there. And they had towels there for them to dry off when they get after being baptized. But yet they told her they couldn't do it because she had pants on. And so they didn't baptize her. That lady became so hurt, she never went back no more. Another brother went who had dreadlocks. I mean, he had these dreadlocks down his back, probably, I don't know how long it was because I wasn't there. Another minister told me about it. Must have had dreadlocks down his back, but dreadlocks. So usually the dreadlocks be a little past the shoulders and some long, much longer than that. But he had dreadlocks. And he got up and came forth and wanted to be baptized. And told him, no, you know, the Bible says, Paul in the book of Corinthians says that it's a sham for a man to wear long hair. And brother, we can't baptize you like that. You're going to have to get a haircut. Well, a man didn't want to get no haircut. His eyes wasn't open up about the stuff what the pastor was talking about, or the assistant pastor. The pastor wasn't there. The pastor was in Texas or something at that time. This happened right on the outskirts of New Orleans. And they didn't baptize the guy. Well, the guy didn't want to cut off his locks. So you know what? He didn't come back no more. Plus, he was embarrassed in front of all them people. You know, you got to get a haircut. Wow. You got to cut them locks off. When you cut them locks off, it's going to show in your heart that you truly want to be baptized. You don't cut the locks off. You putting the locks before you put God. You putting the locks before you get baptized. Well, the boy just only knew this is something he needed to do. He felt convicted in his heart. But when they didn't baptize him, by the time he left, you know, that had gone. See, in other words, you got to catch the fish before you could clean them up. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
You don't clean them up underneath the water. You don't clean them up under that. You know, God got a work to do, and you have a work to do. You know, we got to baptize people when people come forth and want to be baptized. And they didn't baptize, and that lady and that man never went back to that church no more. Another thing, that church only have about 6 members. But now you see why, 5 members or so. Now you see why. Because
wow.
Not really God's church. That's man church. That's a setup.
Man's church.
Man,
that's right.
Who set up his standards. And if you don't come by his standards, even though you go into the Bible and say some things, you have to understand everybody's not on the same level. You're not going to clean the fish, you know, you understand, while it's still in the water. You got to catch them first. And so he didn't catch those. He missed those. And it's a shame. Those people's soul still might not be saved. I don't know. You know, so, you know, that waiting to get baptized and thing, no, that's not good. And it's not even biblical. You know what I mean? And so anyway, I just wanted to bring that out. Oh, and another thing I wanted to say, Apostle. Now, this is something I want to say to you and to anybody else that's on the line who may have had a major surgery like I did at one time, a major surgery when they took my eye out of my head, you know, to put a plastic lens behind my eye. They had to take my eye out to do that. And so I've had that done to both eyes, and you know, and I had at least 4, maybe 5 operations. I can recall 4 operations that I had when my eyes were taken out of my head and the plastic lens was put behind my eyes. And I can recall 1 or 2 of the times where I came back preaching strong right after it had happened. You know, the capillaries and those little tender veins that's in the eyes and thing, you know, that already sewed up, you know, those little veins and thing in one place in both of my eyes. I also had where they had put valves in the side of my eyes as well, so that the pressure from glaucoma, that fluid could drain off the back of my eye and stuff. So, you know, it was certain things that I had went through with my eyes and thing that that I shouldn't have rushed back. And I could have ministered, just talked a little bit, you know, but I was just so excited because I was able to see good. I mean, I had 20/20 vision, you know, after all of this happening. But I pushed myself too fast. I really did. I pushed myself too fast, and you know, and then my eyes began to get weaker, until I completely lost my sight. You understand? But I had been losing my sight since I had been about 11 years old. I had been losing my sight. My sight had been going, coming back, going, getting blind, coming back, being healed, losing my sight, coming back, being totally healed, losing my. And this last time I lost my sight, it didn't come back no more. But I said that to say this, Apostle. I know I heard you say one day, you had went to church. And that's a lot of pressure when we pastor in a church and we minister to people. Sometimes that could be as hard as working on a job dealing with concrete, to be honest with you. When you're dealing with the minds of the people, it can really, really be tough on us sometimes. And sometimes we could get excited. And, you know, and
yes.
I heard you say that you ran around, you know, you just broke off and ran around the church because you were so excited, you know. And, I mean, when God tell you to do things, you know, and God said, well, you know, you obey God, I can't come against nobody obeying God. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't ever want to be found fighting against God. But I do know sometime, Apostle, and that's what happened to me. We can become a little emotional about the goodness of God, you know.
Yeah, you're perfectly right.
You know, and, you know, Apostle, and there's things that's going on the inside of us that's still healing, and it's still really tender. Little bitty tiny things, veins and capillaries and all of these. Hold on 1 second. I want to remind my wife. Yeah, but that alarm is going off. You got to pick them children up. Hey, Siri, stop.
Done.
Okay. But anyway, that's about it, Apostle. And so that's about it. I don't know. There may have others that might want to come in. I talked to one of the pastors. He said he would be listening in. I don't know if Elder Larry is in or one of the other pastors is in, but if they are and if they want to come in and comment, you know, it's back into your hands, Apostle, on whatever you want to
thank
do.
Thank you
this
so
time.
Much, Apostle. You,
thank you, Apostle, for
you
that powerful word.
You're perfectly right because, you know, ever since that Sunday, I pulled back because, you know, the day when the Lord released me on that, I said, okay. But after that, I pulled myself back because, like you said, and I know, I'm still healing on the inside. My outside looked perfect. I mean, it's so, so beautiful. Even to Monday night when I was at the hospital, the doctor says, man, he said, you heal so beautiful. You know, I said, but I'm still healing on the inside. He said, yeah, he told me too. He said, you're still healing on the inside. I said, no, I can feel it. And then I told him, I got excited and Lord told me, I told him about that too. He said, well, that's all right, but you can't do that all the time. You know, and you just tell me the same thing. He said, you can't
Amen.
Do that all the time. Remember, because when you're running, things are hopping up and down inside your body. You know, he said, things are hopping up inside and down, up and down your body. So you got to be careful about that. He told me that, Apostle. So you're right on the money. You're right on the money. So I told him, I said, look, I wouldn't
well,
do that again.
You know
God
what I'm saying?
To do that. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's right.
I don't know if these other brothers are on the line. They may be on the line.
A couple other people on the line, and Minister Jones just got off because, you know, he out there driving a tractor trailer. So he just got off. Probably gone back to work. But the line is open if anyone has want to respond or add to what you say, something that the Lord put upon your heart. The line is open.
Hey, this is Pastor Keith. I'm not going to say
Lord,
much. I just want to say hello.
God.
Yes, I've been on the whole time. I don't want to say anything. I just wanted to just acknowledge that I'm on the line, and I enjoyed everything. So I just want to thank you for that. Again, yes, it is important that we take care of ourselves because if we want to do the work of the Lord, then we definitely have to take care of ourselves. If we want to be able to deliver the message and to do the things that God has called us to do, that's the only way we're going to do it if we stay healthy, strong, vibrant. So, again, yes, it's very important. And I know sometimes we are extremely excited about getting back at doing some things, but we must still be mindful that we're in recovery. We're not fully, you know, recovered. We're in recovery. And so until we are fully recovered, then that's the only way we can really, you know, get excited and do the things that we feel we want to do. So we must be mindful of that as well. So I just want to just chime that in. It's a lot of things you said. I mean, it's some things you said, such as, I said I wasn't going to say much, but like, you know, when you're talking about we are the church, oh, that's something my wife been said so many times, for many years, been teaching and preaching that to not just us, the children, the church, the families, everyone. She was letting them know that you are the church. It's not an edifice. It's you. And so that is so true. And so we have to treat ourselves with such dignity that we are the church, and we don't have to look at a building, an edifice, to go to a church. And so so I just thank God that, you know, again, you preach the word on that. You preach the word on, you know, really we have to be very mindful of who we are, because your identity really does play a major factor. And so if you know who you are, then you know how to operate or in what capacity to operate. And so, of course, that is truly important to operate in your identity, operating in the fullness of who you really are and who God created you to be. And so, again, I'm always, and that's something I'm on right now as I'm, you know, sharing with my ministry and everyone I pretty much come in contact with is understanding your identity. Because, you know, it's just like when the angel came and told Mary, "Hey, Mary, you know, you're gonna have a baby. You're gonna deliver this, you know, a child." And the Lord told her, you know, "You will name him Jesus." Now, the thing is, this is the thing about that is that, you know, she's given the opportunity to deliver a child, but she wasn't given the opportunity to name the child. And so God told her what to name the child. Why? Because God knew what this child was coming into the world and his identity. And his identity is to be a savior. And so so that's how he operated. He operated in his capacity. He operated in his identity. And he was never, never deterred from it. So, again, that's how we are to operate. We are to operate in our identity of who we really are in Christ so that the world, so that the kingdom of God can get the full effect of who we really are and that we can operate in such a way. So, yes, you said a lot of things that, you know, that touch on a lot of things. And so like you were saying, am I talking to anybody? Yes, you were talking to us, you know. So so we were listening. And so you know, and so we just want to thank you for that we all on one accord. We all have, you know, the mind of Christ and trying to preach the mind of Christ to as many as we possibly can. So I just wanted to thank God for that and just wanted to share some of the tidbits that you know you was talking about. So I just wanted to just bring that up. And of course, we're always praying for you every morning on our Body of Christ prayer line that, you know, you remain healthy and vibrant. That's the only way we're going to be able to get God's word is if we are obedient to him. We can't just take it on our own because man says, "Oh, you're okay. You can go back. You're doing well." And then we take it upon ourselves to operate in the capacity we feel we can operate in. Well, no, we're supposed to just continue to, you know, get the okay from God because he is the high physician. Hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. So as we get his approval, then and only then will we know that we are fully recovered. And so, again, I just wanted to just put that out there just to share that with you guys. Again, we thank you, Apostle, and continue to pray for you, your wife, your whole family, your ministry in the name of Jesus because we call you guys out every morning on our Body of Christ prayer line. So, again, amen, praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Pastor. You know, we are waiting and praying that we can have you and husband come on in and break some bread for us. You know, and give me a chance to breathe one day. Whatever chance you guys get. You know, we are so grateful that you are here with us, and I recognize the number. Come on and and share with us even the more. God bless you. So what we want you to do, Pastor, if you can do for us, really greet us today. Just, excuse me, pray and close us out. Pray and close us out. I got a few things I need to do. If you can do that for us, we will be grateful.
Amen. Amen. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We come thanking you, Father, who you are. You're my Father, our Father, which art in heaven. You're our Savior. You're our guide and comforter, and we thank you for that, Father. Oh, God, we thank you in the name of Jesus for who you are, for what you are, and for what you do for each and every one of us. And we just want to thank you, Lord. We thank you once again that you have called us this morning, Father. You have called us today, Father. You have called us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and awakened us and clothed us in our right mind, giving us our health and strength, and we're forever grateful to you for that. And, Father, as we come forward and as we have come on this beautiful, blessed day, Lord, that we continue, Father, in your name. Father, as we continue to go forth, Lord, we just want to thank you for Apostle David in the name of Jesus, his ministry, Father. Oh, God, we thank you for the message that he brought today, Father, concerning John. Oh, the Apostle John and the relationship that he had with you. He was able, Father, to see you and to get a glimpse of you, Father. And we thank you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus. That is something that we all are seeking, Father, to have such relationship, Father, that we can see you face to face. And if we cannot see you face to face, that we get a chance to see a glimpse of you, Father. Oh, yes, Lord, because of who you are. Oh, God, that we would have such relationship with you, Father, that we can go forth in the name of Jesus, filled in the Holy Spirit, Father, being led by the Holy Spirit each and every day, knowing your vision and knowing your assignment that you have for us, Lord. Oh, God, we want to thank you, Lord. We want to thank you in the name of Jesus that we operate. Yes, Lord, we operate in the fullness of your spirit and of your assignments, Lord. Oh, Lord, we just want to thank you, Father, for Apostle David, Father, that you continue to keep him healthy, vibrant, strong, Father. We pray for his wife, Lord, who has his, you know, stand by his side, his family, Father, his ministry, Father, that you continue to strengthen it, Father, each and every day, even as you're strengthening him as he's in recovery, Father. Oh, God, let him take it one day at a time, Father, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for all who comes on and support him on this ministry, Father, as often and as much as they can, Father. I thank you for Apostle Ronnie Stewart, who has introduced me, Father, to this line, Father, because you know that we all want to be connected to the body of Christ, to do the will of the Father each and every day. And so, Lord, we just continue to pray for Apostle Ronnie Stewart as well, Father, that you continue to cover him and Pastor Joyce, Lord, each and every day, Father. Oh, God, once again, we thank you for the message. We pray that the word has gone forth and touched each and every heart that heard it, that it will be once again fulfilled, Father. We will be faithful, Father, in the name of Jesus, to do your will and to be about your business. So, Lord, we pray this and so much more in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Bless every home, Father, that is represented on this line today, Father. Oh, God, be with everyone, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we're covered in the blood of Jesus, our going out and our coming in, Father. Oh, God, we just want to say thank you once again. If in Jesus' mighty name we pray, and we all say amen, amen, and triple amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And we bless
yes,
the Lord
sir,
for you
yes,
and for your husband. We pray, God, continue to watch over
wife,
you,
wife.
Watch over your household, and God, continue to order your steps in his word, that Lord, continue to add more to your spiritual walk. This is our prayer. God, touch you from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. Weapons formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises against you, we condemn it right now in the name of Jesus. We declare victory in your life. Everything that you do to glorify the Father, you will be victorious. And we just honor our Apostle Ronnie Stewart, my brother, and his lovely wife, Pastor Joyce. We just thank God for her. Thank God for all that she does. You know, I was just looking, Apostle, you would not believe. I got you on my computer, and Pastor Joyce, and I was just looking at both of you last night. And I said, Lord, this is my brother and my sister. And this beautiful picture I showed my wife. I said, this is Apostle right here. You was preaching. You had that kind of tan linen, I think it's a linen suit on. It's kind of light suit, very light, two-piece, you know, with same color. And like beige, and it was so beautiful. I just watch you. I just love you so much, Apostle Stewart. I just love to see you preaching, hear you preaching, see how you move forward and backward. It just blesses me, you know, to see how God uses you. And I know we're going to do great work together, because I'm coming to Louisiana as soon as I'm much better, you know. And I'm not worrying about the finances. They're in place already. But
man,
as soon as my body get better, you know, get
Apostle.
Better. We're going to come
take
in.
Your time, take your
yeah.
time, get well first,
yeah.
but we're looking forward.
Yeah.
We're looking forward for your company.
Thank you.
You're coming down, but, you just make sure you know. Well, you're going to do that. I don't have to tell you that.
So you all have a blessed evening. We'll be back here tomorrow. Talk to the pastors and see when they can come on and
break bread with us, okay? Pastor Shield and come on, Wendy can come on. God bless you all. I love you guys so much, but just remember that God loves you more, okay? God loves you more.
Amen.
He loves us more.
Amen.
God bless you. All right. Bye-bye.
God bless. God bless. Take
and
care.
And Brother Robert, we don't even forget you, Robert. We thank you, Brother Robert, for being here. He's over there in Buffalo, New York. He's here every morning. We thank God for you. We pray God continue to strengthen you. And God, we pray that the Spirit of God encourage you. Encourage you to don't give up. Don't give up and don't give in. Okay, I want you to know that God is watching over you. We read the word this morning. He said he sees all things. He knows all things. We read in the word this morning. So know God knows our desires. He knows our concern. He knows what concerns us. So I just want you to know this. God is keeping you. That's the only reason you're here. Just understand that. Don't let the enemy play with your mind. All right, we want to let you know we love you, but God loves you more. God bless you. God bless you. Bye-bye.